Just spazzing on shit like this. Wool on me like a shepherd. Paul McCartney on record. Life just a whole film to me. Rest of y'all just extras. I put work over pleasure. What's your sheep?
Welcome to Unsigned Hype, episode 34. On this episode, I have the pleasure to talk to the incredible artist Teo Pasquale from Ambler, Pennsylvania. Prior to her interview, I asked Teo which song he would play for someone that wasn't familiar with his music yet. Teo chose his song Pennsylvania Dry Goods, and if you're not familiar with Teo Pasquale's music yet, here's a snippet of that song before we jump into the interview.
Game time like Vince Young on the Longhorns, let's get one. Hell of time where we skip runs. Lotto ticket only hit once, got her on the knees like Islam. Religion. Family ties getting baptized.
Can you bless me with something?
Uncle stealing all Christmas gifts, just re-up on a little crack rock.
I remember.
OPA, brother told me I should CA. Bitches playing like it's EA. I'm just looking for a leeway. Apples ride if you leave them out. Lame blueprints like I built the house. You was looking for a whole different route. If we have a talk, would you listen out? Dreams high, gotta reach mine. Can't be banging out like a crazy bitch that be dipping off on her Nissan. If so, then it's peace signs.
This is Unsigned Hype. The song you just heard is called Pennsylvania Dry Goods by Teo Pasquale, who's joining me from LA today. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the show. Teo, why is Pennsylvania Dry Goods the song you would play for someone that has never heard your music before?
I just feel like, you know, it's me. If I can describe it, it's almost like telling you where I come from through a vibration.
What kind of impact would you say did Pennsylvania have on your musical style and, you know, your upbringing even, discovering your love for music?
It has so much. Like, that's what I grew up in. So, like, that's all I know. Pretty much. And I always had like a lot of musical influences. My dad was a DJ in South Philly, and he would just like DJ around Philadelphia in the 80s. And, you know, by the time the 90s and early 2000s came, I was born, and he would play so much music in the back of his car. And, you know, I took that in. I was like a sponge. I was soaking it in. And, you know, to like Prince, to Run DMC, Public Enemy. It was just so much a mixture of music. So I think, you know, that makes me who I am. And I think that brings the Pennsylvania out of me as well, because there's so much of like a melting pot in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, your grandfather actually was a producer as well and songwriter as well, right? Didn't he work with Bob Marley at some point?
Yes, yep. That's crazy. When Bob went to Delaware before the fame or, you know, whatever, before people knew who Bob Marley was, he went to Delaware with his mother. And my grandfather was there just playing music. And there's a recording out there that I cannot find. I wish I can find it. that would be sick if I could, but.
Did your grandfather and your father share a lot of stories from their musical experiences with you? Would you say that that had a lot of influence on you actually picking up a mic eventually?
I think it was more from my father, you know, because he was such a hip hop head, and also my older brother. He's still a producer actually, but it was from my dad. But I think it was just in me since I was born. Like, even when I was like 6 or 7, I would just be rapping and the words wouldn't make sense, but I'll be in pocket. I'll be flowing. And I just knew, you know, at that age, I was like, I knew I loved it. I was already in the flow state. Once I started writing, I was about like 14 or 15, and I discovered that I'm a writer. And, that's when I really started taking music as serious. Just writing. I would write in like class and just write rhymes, and they weren't as good at that time. And then I started discovering, my brother was making beats at the time as well, and he was using GarageBand, Logic Pro. And I learned how to record in Logic Pro just from playing on my brother's laptop. And I learned how to make songs from just playing around. I showed my brother one day. He always knew, you know, I can rap, but like once I started taking it serious, he's like, oh, there's some potential here.
how critical are you of yourself? Like, when is the moment when you believe that something that you've written down is actually a rhyme worthy to record?
It was certain, like the little things. Like, I recorded like a verse, and it just sounded so good to me. So like, I was just like super confident from that point on. That I was like, okay, this is for me, and I don't care what people think. I like the way I sound on it, and I think from that moment on, it was like, okay, I'm good at this.
But when you hear yourself, what are the little things that you noticed about your voice and your recording that made you be like, this is something that is for me and I'm made for this?
I think it's more of catching yourself in the flow state, right? It's just like, once you notice that you're just in a different space, that's when you realize, like, it's almost like I had a thing for basketball. When I would play basketball, I would be so focused on one thing. Like, if you ever played a sport, you're just focusing, you're in the flow state, and you love the feeling of that. And that's how it felt with music. And then, of course, just like hearing myself over again as I recorded it, I think it just became confident. It's when the flow state meets confidence. And that's what made me where I am right now.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, what does that do for you? Because, you know, you hear yourself, you enjoy what you're hearing, and you're like, well, I'm actually good at this. Like, well, what's the next thought from there? Like, do you just keep recording all the time, or?
Yeah. Just keep recording. And it's just very therapeutic. It's, once I get it out, I feel so much better. I want to keep that same feeling. So that's why I think I continue to create. And then it became, you know, once I start seeing feedback, the outsiders, it was like very good, positive. It was like, oh, this is good. And that just even boosts my confidence even more.
Yeah. And eventually in 2016, you record your first song, right? When You're Lost, featuring Boy Dior. Walk around, take you higher than the moon, bitch. I'm gonna put it down on some new shit. Sip a little purple, just do shit. True shit. Now we take them trips to Soho. Snapchat, you take a photo. That was the first song, right?
Yeah, that was one of the first songs I put out, and that was with my brother on his production, and he was Boy Dior then. It's Giovanni Christopher now, but yeah, man, that was like my first EP in Before Dark.
How do you look at that project today, and how was it back then recording it?
Well, now when I go back on it, I was like, you know, there are a few good elements that I like about it, and then it's like, you know, back then it was so like fun recording it and just like coming up with like an idea and executing the idea. It was like my first time I really executed an idea aesthetically, how I want it to sound, even though it wasn't as good, but that was like the first time that I executed an idea and I felt so good about it. I was like, this is sick. Like the cover art is awesome. I was just so confident about it.
Can you describe the idea? Can you try to put that into words, like what the idea and the execution was like in practice?
Yeah, I think it even stems back to still like that Pennsylvania aesthetic, because like where I come from, it's a small town. It's in between of the city and the mountains. And it's almost like if I can describe my music, but this was like early on, but still, if I can describe my music, it's almost like an alternative soulful rap music where you can hear the crisp tones, but also give like that gritty message. If you're familiar of Philadelphia fans, we're very like passionate and like that underdog. If you watch Rocky, mm-hmm. Very triumph type music. And I think that's my music. I think that's who I am. But early on, I had that already. Like if you could see in the cover art, that vintage grit, almost like Rocky standing next to the statue. So yeah, that was early on. So I think I knew then.
But you, at the same time, you said that, you know, obviously you see some things today that maybe you wouldn't do like that again, or that you didn't really like so much about the project. What were those things?
It was just the flows weren't as tight. I wasn't as in pocket. You know, just certain little things that only the artist knows. And I could tell the growth from that point on, but it was good for where I was in my career, because I was just starting out. And I think, you know, again, I think I was just doing it just because that's what I liked doing at the time. It was fun. And just finally like making something out of thin air and just releasing it to the world.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the word growth and, you know, kind of like going from there and developing yourself. And I, at least from my, like, you know, my personal, you know, as a listener of your music kind of perspective, you know, you had like For My Dogs Freestyle and the Come Up were songs where I really could, where I could really hear like you were going in.
I'm just breaking down these doors like the law book games. This is way too much passion. Ask me if I'm lacking. Team full of assassins just waiting to attack.
It was really like a step up and stuff like that. And in the beginning, you mentioned that you always had this confidence. But when was it for you truly when you felt comfortable like releasing your music and you really knew that you had something? Has this always been like that, or did it take you like, you know, overcoming certain things to get to that point?
There was a song I dropped during Free My Dogs. It was called Flex Through the Day. And that like took off. I was in high school at the time and my whole high school was like playing the song. I would go to parties and it would randomly come on. And that right there was like the switch. I was like, all right, this is definitely for me. Because people are reacting to it now. Like, I already love it. I already just love expressing myself. I'm already confident. But this even, it makes it for real. And I think from that point on, and I think that was like 2017. I was about 17 or 18. And I think from that point on, it was like, all right, let's get it.
Yeah, and then I mean 2017, it's funny you mentioned that. In 2017, didn't you open up for Post Malone at some point? Like, isn't that the year where you met Post Malone?
Yeah.
Backstage, and you opened up for him at his show?
Yes, sir.
What would the 18-year-old Teo Pasquale ask an artist like Post Malone backstage?
Yeah, I would probably ask him, you know, when I know there's days when like every artist gets uninspired and like, you know, writer's block or whatever. What are those tools that you use to break through that and get back into the flow state? Because I think like that's like the number one question. It's like I will go through hundreds of beats and sometimes I'm just not feeling it. And I would just have to close my laptop and just read a book or something that can bring me back to it, or just go out and enjoy life. I think, you know, at that age, that's what I'll probably ask post.
Did you manage to, through your experience over the last years, to kind of have a better understanding of that, how to deal with these situations?
Yeah. It's life, you know, life imitates art. I think you just have to go out and, you know, see what life has to bring and then bring it back to the studio. And, you know, even sometimes you can't catch the magic. You may have something written or you may want to get this message across, but there's still something there that the magic just isn't working that day. So I think I go tap into other music. Listen to different music, listen to other rappers, anything. Folk music could just like catch my ear, hear certain flows. And I think I just, then I'll go back in the studio and I feel more ready to catch the magic.
Is that the reason you think, like, is this lack of inspiration or these challenges that you have, was that the reason why it took you, I think, 3 years for your debut album to come out, right? New Habits. I think you released that in 2019, but the recording process lasted like about 3 years, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was a long time. I think that was a mix of, being uninspired and also not, like, I don't feel like I was, sometimes I'll listen to a song, I was like, nah, this gotta be better.
You mean better in the sense of like the whole song needs to be recorded again, or better in terms of I need to scrap the song to do something different?
Scrap it. Sometimes I'll scrap it, do something different. Sometimes I'll re-record if I really love the beat still, I'll re-record the verse, make sure I'm sharper, all that. In the creative process, is I drive myself crazy. I think that's the fun part. Trying to, throw anything at the wall, and sometimes it falls and sometimes it sticks. But I love the creative process and I take my time in it. Every artist is different, but I like to take my time in it. Sometimes it's just 20 minutes. Like, I'll write a verse and I just go and I was like, oh shit, this is good. So you never know. You never know. You just got to let God in the room and he'll take control.
What's the worry there for you? Like, why do you do that? Why do you feel like you need to chase after this perfect moment and this have this perfect song ready?
I think it just has something to do with myself. If I don't like the way I'm sounding, then I just won't put it out, or I would re-record it. It's just, something personal. It's like, nah, I don't like the way I'm sounding right there. Or it could be better. I always feel like this can be better. Sometimes, like, even the first version of it, like, I'll try different versions. I'll do a new verse and I'll go back to the first one and be like, actually, this sounds better. From trying those other three after that, I would go back to the first thing that I did and realize, it's a crazy thing. The creative process is crazy because you just never know. You just have to go with your gut feeling sometimes. But I think why I just re-record these verses is just always knowing that it could probably be better. So I should try it, at least try it, see what it sounds like, I think that also comes from, I played basketball as well. And I like to take basketball as an analogy in life, in music, but in life. But like, I will put up those shots before that championship game. And if I'm not making all those shots, I'm going to go run and discipline myself. So I like to put that in the music.
It's something that I was thinking about when when we're just talking about this chasing after perfection and not really wanting things to go out that you're not really, happy with or aligned with or whatever you want to call it. How does that work for your first offering to your audience, for example, when it comes to a single of a project, right? For example, you're about to release your debut album and Bring It Back Home is the first single that you choose for that. Six shots and I'm gone. How do you make a decision like that? Is it kind of random, or do you have a strategic approach to releasing a single for people to hear?
Most of the time, it's me and my brother sitting in the studio, home studio, whatever. And we'll go through like the tracks that I did on the project. And then we'll choose, and Bring It Back Home was one of those songs that we chose because we felt like this could be a song that everybody could like. Out of the project of New Habits, I felt like that was the most almost like commercial song. And that's crazy to say because I don't chase for commerce, but sometimes it's just like, this could be a banger. And me and my brother would just be like, yeah, this is a good song to put out.
And so, I mean, I totally get what you're saying, this idea of, you know, you're not releasing music for commercial success and stuff like that. But yet it's kind of a thought that goes through your and your brother's head that this song has the potential to make you become commercial, make the song go commercial and reach a large audience. Do you think that at the core, that's like the goal for you? Is that what you daydream about as an independent and up and coming artist? Is that you hit that mark of a commercial success, or is there another mission behind everything that you do?
Yeah, I don't focus on the commercial. I just focus on the music that I like doing, because it's so like, you just never know. Like, for instance, like I put out Bring It Back Home and it didn't do what I thought it was going to do. But another song that was on New Habits did what Bring It Back Home, what I thought Bring It Back Home should do, which was Nowadays. Your homie man up, can't live life like a child. I want that lamb truck black before I go out of style. Can't be wasting time, niggas out here on their grind, putting pieces in a puzzle, man, it should be hard to find. We'll be fine, word of time. It was unexpected. I knew it was a great song. I still love that song. But I didn't think it was going to be, you know, the, like that maybe should have been the single I should have put out. But that's, again, like you just never know. Like in the creative process, you just never know. You just have to release. And I think at that time, that's when I really learned that, all right, don't worry about trying to make this the commercial song. You just let God in the room and let it flow, and you'll see how the fans react to it. And just all I can do is just make the best music that I like and put it out to the world. And the world will tell you. So I don't think I'm focusing on commercial success. I think I'm just focusing on making the best music that I could possibly make at this time and moment.
And does that mean that numbers is not something that you really look at on a regular basis? Is that something that you kind of keep out of the picture for yourself?
Yeah, I try to. You know, it's still 50-50 for me, because, you know, I'm an independent artist and obviously I do want a fan base, because I have a message, you know, I have a message that I want to express to the world, and I want to inspire as many kids as possible throughout music, fashion, almost every art form. But I know I can break through, because music is the vehicle for this. So I know I can break through and inspire a lot of people. I want to be, you know, what Jay-Z was for me, what Kanye was for me. I want to be that for another kid. So I can pass, almost like a generational wealth type thing, just passing it down and passing the inspiration down in that way.
Would you like things to go faster in terms of your career and how it's developing?
You know, sometimes I think about my age. I'm 26. I'm still young, but it's getting old for hip hop. But I think hip hop is evolving, especially with, like, you know, TikTok and how kids engage now. It's just very fast paced. And I realized that, you know, I shouldn't be in no rush, because I feel like my music is timeless. So, you know, it may not work today, it may not work tomorrow, but it can work. It could work 20 years from now. You know, I would like it to work tomorrow, you know, but I realize at the same time, I do make timeless music. So it's going to spark someone.
But is that something that you think, do you ask yourself that question, why it's not happening today or tomorrow? Is that something that you sometimes, when you sit back and think about where you're at in your career, like, do you wonder why you're where you're at today?
Yeah, sometimes I have mixed emotions, but I feel like it's just, you know, it has to be at the right place at the right time, type of thing with music. It's not because your music is not good. It's just, again, it's the right place at the right time. And I'm very patient with that. And I know if if it's not going to work tomorrow, right, it's going to work one day.
You know, when it comes to that question about where you're at and stuff like that, is there something that you believe you need to be better at as an independent artist, or that you need to improve on? Or
yeah, absolutely. It's a tough transition because I come from a different era. You know, usually like we will wait on albums sometimes 2 years, a year. They'll put out the project. Nowadays, it's just like you got to drop a song every week, every month. You know, that it's possible, but it's just my process sometimes. It's just, you know, but I think I'm learning and I'm doing better with it. I do try to put out a song every month. I missed this month, but, you know, you can always start over, right? And I think, you know, I try my best on dropping a song a month and, you know, putting a marketing ad. And that's the best that I can do at this time and space. And, you know, packing up my bags from my small town and moving to L.A., a lot has changed in the last 6 months for my career. And I realize it's, you know, the exact time and space in the environment around you as well, because Philadelphia, I love Philadelphia with all my heart, but it's just not a place to chase the music. Not saying it's not possible to make it out of there. It's just sometimes there's a lid, and sometimes you have to just leave the city, go to New York, London, LA, whatever music scene. And then, you know, my goal is to come back to Philadelphia and try to break through the lid. So yeah, man, it's a tough thing, marketing as well. But I feel like it would all come. It's going to all come together. I always have faith in that. And I think you have to be very delusional, being a musician and trying to make it to where you want to go. Because I still have these goals, right? So,
what's the toughest part about the marketing aspect of building a career in music?
I would say funding. Yeah, just, you know, I work a job out here as well. And, you know, balancing a job and chasing a music career is sometimes tough, but I do the best that I can. And I would think, yeah, just the funding. And now I'm like at a space like where I can, you know, especially out here with LA, create opportunity to make that funding from the music that I already created, because there's other ways that you can make money through music. And I actually, you know, first discovered that with my first sync deal that happened a few months ago. And I realized it's like, okay, this is possible.
Did you get any successes from that? Any placements?
I got a placement on ABC, a show called Will Trent. And, you know, seeing that helped a lot. And it even boosts that, we're talking about confidence earlier, it just like boosts my confidence that this can, you can really create a living from making music out of thin air.
I do know a little bit from what other artists have told me about sync deals and stuff like that. So your song gets picked for a show. It's anything pretty much on TV, right?
Yeah, it could be TV, it could be films, it could be video games, commercials, anything in that realm.
Which song of yours was picked?
Behind Screens, the second track of 1777.
Eyes everywhere, you know God never blinking. Swim off the coast, baby, I ain't never sinking. Did that sink in? We used to drive Lincoln. Now I'm just an imprint, they waiting on the entrance.
It was when I got the news, it was awesome. I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I was like, actually, in the process of, well, when it premiered, a bunch of people were calling me from home, and I was actually visiting my first apartment in LA as the song was being premiered on ABC. And it was just like it was an awesome feeling.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I mean, talking about your music, you know, obviously, before we started the interview, you were mentioning that, you know, today is going to be a creation day for you. You're going to be working on some music. Tell me a bit more about, like, what you're working on right now.
Right now, I'm working on an album. It's titled I Deserve Changes, because that's what I feel like. I'm going through a big change, you know, leaving my small town and moving to L.A. You know, last year was very, like, it was like a threshold I broke through. I'm 26. I turned 25 last year, and I was just like, it was the first time I dealt with an anxiety. And an anxiety was, you know, it's a big thing in my family. My grandmom deals with it. My mom dealt with it. And I first discovered it, and I was like, this sucks. And, you know, I think it was just, you know, dealing with situationships, family issues, and that something in the back of my mind that I didn't want to leave home because I knew I was going to hurt the people that I love, but I knew I had to leave for my music career because this is how much I love this thing. This is my purpose. So I went off and took the risk, and it was a big change. And now I'm just in the process of recording that, talking about anxiety. I always talk about grief because I lost my mom in 2019. And, you know, that's what this album's about, changing, making those changes and going through anxiety, overcoming anxiety, trying to overcome grief, and also just becoming a man. That was a big thing for me, moving to LA. And I want to express that all in this album.
I'm getting to my final questions. And, you know, you mentioned the music, of course, you know, you wanting to release, you know, to keep releasing a song a month and singles of the album and the album coming soon. But tell me, like, what's next for you? Like, what are the next milestones that you want to get to, the next things that you want to achieve as an independent artist?
Man, I want to do a lot, you know. Just like I said earlier, it's like music is the vehicle, right? But I also want to, like, you know, start expanding and putting out more merch. And I want Teo Pasquale to be basically become a brand. And, you know, because I like to shoot my own music videos. And, you know, nowadays it's more like visualizers, you know, it's very, very quick. Mm-hmm. Instead of like full videos, it's visualizers. But I'm very into film, so I want to expand, but I want to make sure that we get off right on the music so we can use music as the vehicle so we can expand into these other things that I want to do.
What do you do this all for?
I do it for myself. It brings me joy to create. I do it for myself. I do it because I love it. And then I do it for the kids that need it. Because I needed it. I needed that Kendrick Lamar album. I needed that Kanye album. That's what I do it for. The kids need it. They need that.
Teo, thank you so much for this incredible conversation. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, man. It was awesome.
No, I can't be bluffing. I've been in my bag since Nipsey had his cutlass. Had a hustle for the blueprint. He built the infrastructure. Now it's 717 on the table, label budget. Motivation, this is excellent.
This was Unsigned Hype episode 34 with Teo Pasquale. The track you're hearing right now is Teo's new single, Strictly On My Job. Make sure to support Teo Pasquale by checking out his music and following him on social media. And for your weekly Unsigned Hype, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on all social media platforms as well. All the links are in the show notes below.
Handshakes, I'm usually just dapping, but she might get a pound like some UK money. Have I been on your mind? I'm not on your time. Sorry, I'm on mine. Strictly on my job. Have I been on your mind? I'm not on your time. Sorry, I'm on mine. Strictly on my job. Job. The stakes is high, it's well done. I don't like rolling with lames, they still blunt. You accomplishing your lifetime, take me like 2 months. Olympic track star that's taking a trail run. You don't see the hard work behind falling and getting up.
I'm the only one that's scared to fail once. Need to learn your weak spots better for preparation. Yeah, I take awards, it's better for decoration. You know it's more important, financial education and some artwork that's living for generations. Take some notes, live your truth. I'm doing what Pharrell told us.
Do it too.
I'm not on your time. Sorry, I'm on mine. Strictly on my job. Have I been on your mind? I'm not on your time. Sorry, I'm on mine. Strictly on my job. Job.